One of the riskier television shows of this recently debuted season is HBO's K Street. It's directed by Steven Soderbergh, who calls it real-time fiction. K Street purports to show what life is really like in the corridors of Washington, D.C. K Street is where many Washington lobbyists and powerful law firms keep their offices. Mr. Soderbergh has put together a mix of fact and fiction that gives new meaning to the phrase political theater, NPR's Lynn Neary reports.
K Street is the perfect meeting of East and West, East Coast and West Coast, that is. Consider how it came about. Michael Deaver, former Reagan administration official turned lobbyist, got a call from his old friend Mark Sennett, a longtime Hollywood producer.
And he called me, I guess a year ago, and said, God, you've got to get me an idea to compete with West Wing, because I know I could get a show going if you give me a concept. And I did.
Deaver's first idea was a show about the people behind the people who get elected. He figured he could get real Washington players like Democratic political consultant James Carville involved in the production. Sennett passed the idea on to director Steven Soderbergh, who mixed Hollywood actors with real politicians in his Academy Award-winning film Traffic. Soderbergh brought in his creative partner, George Clooney, and eventually the concept evolved into what it is today, a show about a fictional Washington firm that does a little bit of everything, public relations, lobbying, campaign work. And just as Deaver first envisioned, James Carville plays a major role in the drama, as does his wife, Republican political consultant Mary Madeline.
We got a big pitch coming here. I mean, a really big thing here. We got the RIAA in, you know,
recording industry.
Yeah, the recording
You're
industry.
You're not defending their lyrics.
Doing
this kind of show is a new experience for everyone. There is no script. The scenes are improvised. Everything is shot with handheld cameras in restaurants, cars, and on the street. Soderbergh shoots and edits the show, and everyone says he's the only one who knows how it will come out in the end. He's so consumed with the task that it's impossible to talk to him. Co-producer Stuart Stevens says it's all done in 5 days, beginning with a Monday morning meeting where everyone throws out ideas for that week's show.
I think that the model for the show is much more, say, of a news weekly than a traditional TV drama, because we never know on Monday what will be on our cover when we go to print Friday night. And the story evolves as we go along.
Once they settle on an idea, Deaver, Madeline, Carville, anyone with Washington connections, begin working the phones. They call members of Congress, journalists, and other Washington players who might want to appear on the show. So far, Deaver says, no one has turned them down.
And Stephen is adamant that it's going to be real, so that we never tell anybody what they're going to say. If we ask a senator, we just say, here's what we're doing, and let them go. So that it is sort of a blending of reality and drama.
Last week, when the show's plot centered around the company's pursuit of the Recording Industry Association of America as a client, Republican Senator Orrin Hatch riffed on the subject of illegal file sharing with actress Mary McCormick.
I just had Bono in the office. He was here just a few minutes
ago.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Bono would be the first to say, look, if we can't get compensated for the hours and weeks and months and years that we've struggled to make it,
if we
can't get compensated for that, we can't keep making the tours.
Well, I may call you back
doing.
To get Bono to deliver our message for us.
There are times on the set, says Mary Madeline, that the constant juxtaposition of real issues and real Washington players with made-up situations and fictional characters gets confusing.
I'm still an informal advisor to the White House, so I'm following all of this all the time, so I keep saying, is this, and there's TVs on and all this, and I keep saying, is this real or is this fiction? So Soderbergh said to me this week, Mary, you're just going to have to make up your mind. It's either all fiction or all reality.
The most startling example of life imitating art came in the first episode, when the fictional plot centered on the controversy in the firm provoked by James Carville's decision to prep Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean for the upcoming presidential debate. During the fictional prep, Carville handed Dean this line.
You get the Vermont question. Say, look, if the percentage of black folks in your state was determined by your record on civil rights, then Trent Lott would be Martin Luther King.
Dean later used that same line in the real debate, and K Street showed a beaming James Carville reacting.
Well, if the percent of minorities that's in your state has anything to do with how you can connect with African-American voters, then Trent Lott would be Martin Luther King.
Mary Madeline was also filmed watching Dean's performance in the debate.
As soon as I heard Dean say that in the real debate, I recognized it as a Carvelian line. He's got a pretty much of a signature vocabulary there. And I was absolutely shocked, and I knew it hadn't been planned. So that's what I think is the genius or the uniqueness of this genre. You don't really know, and it's kind of, it's for some people, it's too jarring.
Stuart Stevens, who has worked as a media consultant for the Republican Party, says the blurring of political fact and fiction on K Street shouldn't bother people. It's just the latest example of a political trend that's been around for a while.
Well, you know, I think every cycle we push these boundaries a little further. You know, in 1992, when Clinton would go on Arsenio and go on these talk shows, those of us on the Republican side all thought he was, you know, nuts as a bunny for doing this and that this is something that's undignified. And, you know, we were wrong as can be. I think voters are very sophisticated about this stuff. I think they enjoy politicians who are willing to swim in the cultural sea.
What are you hearing from your people? I mean,
well, you know, it's a tough one.
Republican David Dreyer is very comfortable swimming in that cultural sea. As a congressman from Southern California, he's used to hanging out with Hollywood stars. Dreyer had no qualms about appearing on K Street to talk about the problems besetting the record industry.
Being able to talk about a public policy issue on which I feel very strongly to an audience that might not normally listen to Morning Edition on National Public Radio or CNN's Crossfire is something that is important to try and do.
But the real question is, does anyone outside the Beltway really care about a show that wants to reveal the way Washington really works?
You know, I think I can safely say that not one person has mentioned K Street to me out here, so I would say the buzz is somewhat muted.
Rob Thomas is the entertainment writer for the Capital Times in Madison, Wisconsin. Thomas finds K Street intriguing, but he's not convinced it's showing the reality of Washington politics.
In a way, the fact that it uses real-life political figures like Orrin Hatch last week, I mean, it kind of works against that because, I mean, those guys all have agendas. They know they're on television, and they're never going to make themselves look bad.
The problem with K Street, says syndicated columnist Clarence Page, a self-described Washington insider, is that it's not tough enough.
They come here from Hollywood. They want to be nice to Republicans and Democrats, so they will be seen as nonpartisan. And it kind of reminds me of what Gore Vidal said during the Vietnam War, that members of Congress weren't sure of whether to be hawks or doves, so they sounded like capons. And that's what this show reminds me of. I think they got to get tougher. But that's going to mean maybe stepping on some toes and offending some people and maybe getting boycotted.
But Page, for one, doesn't plan to boycott the show. He says he'll keep watching to see if there are any more surprises like the Dean debate, and he admits if he's asked to be on the show, he'll gladly do so. After all, says Michael Deaver, that's an offer most Washington insiders just can't refuse.
Everybody in town, I think, eventually will be on the show if they want to.
Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.